Hey, what's up, people, man? I appreciate it. We back at it again, man. We got a special guest today. You know, she a vocalist. She multi-talented, you know what I mean? She does her thing on the microphone, got some dope music. You know what I mean? We're going to find out where we can listen to it at and all that. You know what I mean? It's been a blessing to have her here. You know what I mean? Tell the people where you from. How you feeling?
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Trini. You guys can follow me at Chat with Trin on all social media platforms. I'm from Philly. You already know 215 Liddell, G-Town, so Uptown. Yeah, all right. We ain't even gonna go into the whole what is G-Town? Is G-Town Uptown? Because that is like a huge topic on my show, okay? But let me just go and stay Uptown. You feel me? I'm always repping Uptown. So, yes, ma'am.
Hey, every time I hear Uptown, I gotta say Uptown.
Yeah, I mean, but how you feeling though, man?
Man, I'm feeling great. I can't even lie. I definitely was up all night, you know, getting at it, networking and stuff like that. But I'm here, you know, I'm excited about this interview and I'm with it.
Alright, well with that being said, right? I just wanna know one thing, man. So you know you said you a vocalist, whatever. Can we get a little mm-hmm. give the people a little snippet of what you sounding like? You know what I mean? A little preview on them vocals.
Yes, definitely. Okay, give me one moment.
All I need, Mary J. Blige.
All right.
There we go.
Okay. Shoot, you gotta give me the lyrics, my brother.
Yo,
remember? I'm so bad with these. I swear I'm not shy.
All right. What is it? All I need to get by. Yo, remember that, Joe?
Yeah, okay. Goodbye. I got some. Here we go. Let me stop. There you go. Bag lady, you gon' hurt your. I guess nobody ever told you how you must hold on to issues. I said one day all them bags gon' get in your way. I said one day all them bags.
Oh man.
Hey, night.
You know what? I gotta admit, you feel me? You got them vocals. This usually don't happen. I had a few talented singers on here, but that shit gave me chills. You feel me? I feel it in my pinky toe.
Oh, thank you. Okay, all right. Feeling your pinky toe, your foot, corner of your eyebrow. You know what I'm saying? Right at the tip of the nostril, right inside.
Feel it all. Yo, but I'm gonna slide into my next question. I see you got the vocals, whatever. You rap too, right? You doing
rap?
Yeah,
I rap. All right.
I'm making a quick couple bars. You remember your first rap?
Yo, why would you ever answer that? I do.
What? That's crazy. How old were you made your first rap?
16.
I remember the one from when I was 14. So maybe it was probably a little bit before that. The ones that I probably remember, but I can remember the one from 14. Yo, coincidentally, yo, like, this I read this joint to this day. Like, I'm not even gonna lie.
Yeah, that's what's up. Let us hear a little something. Trini on the beat, acapella, get him.
Listen up, I'm a top 10 seller, y'all dropping yellow eyes. Stay up in your face with skirts, but down and tell them it's Versace. Tell them to watch me, I'm too cocky. And the mother young chicks, they hate me because they not me. It never shocks me, cause every time the paparazzi spot me, you notice that I keep my wrist rocky. Tell me, have you seen her? Throw a bread chick, nigga, spit the way I spit. Go and tell her who it is, yo. I know you seen her. Trade it in the beam on my bitchy teeth. I can't turn it like Tina. Now for the leisure, I take trips over the same kids. Since I'm on the verge of margarita, but I'ma keep it real with ya. You say you have to get. I'ma be spotting, I'ma deal with ya. But I'm about to bring the real picture. Cause the way this chick spit, yo, they know they can't deal with a go figure.
Oh, okay. The Philly all in you.
You heard it now.
You gave me a pop. You gave me a day by going down, man.
Yeah.
Oh man, so like,
oh, yeah, right? They call what?
So does that musical talent, does it just like running your family?
Yeah, my cousin Corrupt, he was the first one to make it in the family. And obviously, you know, he moved to California, so we then go Uncle Snoop. And my dad would actually be going to the studio. And when I was six, I asked him, I'm like, why do you come home at like 7 o'clock in the morning? Like, what are you doing? And he's like, oh, I'm in the studio. You know, when you hear your cousin corrupt on the radio, you know, he has to record that sound in a studio. I said, oh, yo, I want to be a rapper. He laughed at me. You know what I'm saying? No, I'm like, no, I'm serious. I want to be a rapper. He's like, okay, well, write some music. I said, okay. He said, keep writing. So literally, he didn't take me serious until I was about 11 years old. My mom started dating this rapper. Yeah, this is how he was rapping. He took me to the studio, and then my dad heard it, and after that, like, it was over, you know?
It was over.
Like, he just hopped on board and just put everything into my career. I've literally been trained to perform for, like, practice for 8 hours at a time. And at the end of the evening, my brothers and sisters would sit on the bed, and I would have to perform for them, you know?
Dang. That's awesome to hear, man. That right there, that take a lot of discipline, creativity. You know, I definitely see that you got the flavors. You know, you got a lot of creativity too. You got a nice bubbly personality too. You know, you're just not a face. You know, and that's always a good thing. So
thank you.
My next question is, were you ever in a musical group, or was you always dolo, solo? Like, how was that upcoming from 11 up until where you like at now? How did that work out for you?
I was never in a group, but my dad, once my sisters and I had to perform a group, we actually partnered on a project. My sisters, they pretty much are a spitting image of me. Yeah, so our group was called Friday, right? And you know, one of our sisters doesn't want to do it. She doesn't want to be in the limelight. She doesn't want that. You know, she's like behind the scenes, book smart, you know, running the businesses. And my other sister and I are like the entertainers. But she does have an entertaining personality. She just doesn't want to dibble and dabble into that.
Right. So, you know, let's fast forward. All right, so let's just take this up to about before I do that, why did y'all pick Friday for your group name out of all names? Like, anything else?
I didn't take it, but the clothing line is called The Hill Collection, and it's because we're the hills, you know, that's our last name. So that's kind of what we would be described as. It's like, you know, the hills, the hill girls from the hills and stuff like that. So, I don't know where to take it. My sister said, what's everyone's favorite day of the week? Friday.
Oh, okay. That kind of makes sense. All right, cool. All right. So, like, are you the youngest, the middle child, the oldest? How'd that work out?
Yeah, I'm the oldest.
You're the oldest? Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my young, it's me, then it's Amanda, she's 2 years younger than me, then it's Alexis, she's 2 years younger than her, then it's Andre, he's 2 years younger than Alexis, and then you have Jaden, oh no, then you have Demetrius is 21, Jaden is about to be 18, and my mom has a daughter, she is 18.
Alright, cool. That's what's up, man. So, like, who else besides out of your sisters, who is like the y'all, like, were y'all coming up, were y'all like always in competition with each other, like always are like real competitive nature? Was your family like that amongst your immediate family, or how'd that work out?
So when my mom and my dad were like childhood sweethearts, you know, they knew each other since kindergarten. They started dating when they were 11. Crazy, like, who dates at 11 years old, you know? And they were like really dating, you know, and they had me when they were 16 and 17. So they dated for about 2 years after that, and then they parted ways, and my dad met my stepmom, Mama Lisa, and she had three kids, and those three are the ones that they live together. So they have a different type of relationship as opposed to me in that household, you know. So they kind of had that competitive type deal, as opposed to me, you know. And then the younger ones, they're young. So not necessarily saying that we don't group them with us, but we look at them as like our younger siblings.
Right. And how old are you?
32.
Are you 32? Okay. 32. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you, 23.
90s, baby.
90s, shout out to me. Are you? I'm saying, you sure ain't in 2008?
Yeah, I'm sure.
You sure? You know, I'm just fucking, I'm just messing with you.
Yeah.
I mean, shout out to all my 90s, baby. What's your sign?
I'm a Gemini. I'm a Gemini, as many of us.
Alright.
Hey, what's your sign?
My sign? Shout out to all my Leos. Leo gang in here, you know what I mean, all day, you know what I mean? Leo.
Oh, my goodness. This conversation just went left.
I think that's the end of the interview, people. Huh? That's all I can get from it. All
right, you guys. Thanks so much for tuning in.
My next question to you is, so you said, I'm going to take it back for you a little bit. You said corrupt. Is your blood cousin? How that relationship come together?
Yeah, so my dad, mom, and his and corrupt's mom, are sisters.
Wow. We got a lot of talent in Philly, man. It's a lot of talent.
Don't we?
Yeah, we got.
Yo, but Eve.
All the niggas. Oskito doing his thing, man.
You see that, though?
Oskito, that bull.
Oskito,
I fucks with his music and his the way he rock, bro.
Yeah.
Bro.
Wallow, they all turning up.
Wallow, too. Yeah, man.
You know what I'm saying? So he's turning. It's crazy out here, though.
Yeah, man.
It's crazy.
What's the crazy thing you heard about in Philly right now, man?
What do you mean? Like, the craziest thing I heard happened like a few months ago, and this woman got her head decapitated in the Northeast. I'm like, in the Northeast?
Dang, that's
crazy. Decapitation.
That's wild.
Yeah.
That's
wild. That. But then on top of that, Temple policeman shot, killed.
Right. Yeah. Police. When they start shooting the cops again, I'm like, oh, are we going to see another 05, or what is it, 04, 05, 07? They're going to go back to...
Listen. They are doing a mass reemployment for the 23rd district, the 22nd district, the 25th district, and two other districts, and they're literally right there.
Right.
Mass redeployment for the cops.
Wow, that's crazy.
Right now, simply.
That is crazy. That's crazy.
What are you telling? But I mean, more importantly, I forgot which state it was. I wish I knew which state it was or remember. But check this out. They are taking statistics on children that are in the fourth grade that don't read at a fourth grade level, taking those statistics out of the children that do read at the fourth grade level, and they are
Yeah, man, it's awesome to have you on. Appreciate you. All right,
so they are taking these numbers and basically using them to address how many people are going to be incarcerated, and they are using this formula, and it's currently working. It's successful. So basically, they are predicting that children that don't read at a fourth grade level that are in the fourth grade will be amongst those incarcerated.
Wow, that is crazy. That mass incarceration crazy, man. And I'm leading to my next question. Yeah. My next question is, you grew up in Philly. So up top, you said where you be at, but like, what was your stomping grounds? Like, where did you really rock at? And coming up in Philly, I know it can be rough. How did you avoid some of them pitfalls? Because you seem like you got a really good upbringing and background.
I wasn't able to have any freedom until I was 18. I couldn't wear tight clothes. I couldn't wear lip gloss. I couldn't wear lipstick. I couldn't get my nails done. I wasn't allowed to even leave the porch. We didn't even have a porch. We had like a little step. You know what I'm saying? I wasn't able to leave the step, the front of the house. I couldn't go to the middle of the block. Couldn't go to the park that was literally on the next block behind us. The park was right there. Couldn't go there. My mom got me a car when I was 17. I went to Little Flower over at, Hunting Park. I went to Green Street Friends out in Germantown. And that was before... that was before Little Flower. And during grade school, I went to Wilson up on Cotman and Castor. Actually became the president of the 8th grade class, and you do know that. Then went over to Little Flower. Then went over to Little Flower and became the president of the African Heritage Association. Mm-hmm. Yes, me. Huh. Thank you.
Okay. Excuse me. See that
one. Won all the talent shows. They didn't even have talent shows before we came. Won all the talent shows. Came and just shut shit down.
Alright, man. So like coming up, right? You said you was in eighth grade. Did you go to do you feel like growing up, did you have the best of the both worlds, or like as far as like diversity, were you like well diverse compared to a lot of your friends that were surrounding you coming up?
Yes. So with those three different schoolings, it was Quaker school, Catholic school, and public school. So my mom put me in these three different types of schools because she wanted me to interact with different types of people, so I would be able to basically code switch. And if anybody knows what code switching is, or if you don't, I'll tell you. Code switching, basically, you know, you're reading the room and you're presenting yourself with what the room calls. So right now we're in an interview. You know what I'm saying? I'm chilling. I'm cool. You know, but we're in an interview, so I got a little interview voice. You know, if I'm on the radio, I'm like, hey, you guys, thanks so much for tuning in to. You know, I got my radio voice. You know, if I'm hanging out, if I'm in North Philly or whatever, and I'm at 19th and Diamond. You know, because that was my stomping grounds. I sold a lot of my CDs out there. You know, shout out to Susquehanna. Shout out to 22nd and Susquehanna. I would be, you know, kicking it with the boys. You know what I'm saying? I'm just walking down the block. I used to sell, listen, hold on, baby. Let me take y'all for a walk real quick, okay? I used to sell my mixtape on the Orange Line. I used to get dressed, get dolled up, go on the Orange Line all the way at Colony. I was at Hunter Park, so I went to the Colony to start my day. I would literally walk through each train, and I would be like, hey, what's up? You know, my name is Trini Savant. You know, I'm a rapper, and I'm selling my mixtape for $5, and I would literally walk through all the trains. After that, I would cross over at 15th Street to the Blue Line, and I would take that Blue Line all the way to 69th Street. I would get off 69th Street. I would go outside. I would walk around selling my CDs outside. I'd come back 52nd Street. I chill with the boy that sell the books right there. You know what I'm saying? I would be selling the joint, rapping on the joint, because, you know, he used to always had a radio playing. Then I hop back on the train. I would always, I never went past 15th Street. I never went to Old City. That just wasn't my crowd, you know? So I stayed downtown. Now, there are people, I know singers that have taken their boombox, gone and gone, rapped on the corner. I never did any of that. I rapped on the streets. That's just what I did, you know? And that was me. Like, I would just hit the streets after that, you know, until it got dark. When it got dark, you know, I would just hit hoods, hit different hoods in North Philly. I wouldn't go to West Philly. I didn't go to Southwest. I don't know nothing about University City. Like, none of that. Like, I literally stayed in North Philly. And literally on the left side. I didn't even stay on the right side. Like, let's say if we're facing Uptown, and if we're at City Hall, we face Uptown, I literally stayed on the left side. 22nd and Lehigh, that's my Uncle Barbershop. Shout out to my Uncle Fred, you know, Hair Connection. He's working with, what's the lady, the cooking lady? What's the cooking lady name?
Country cooking Saul.
Yes. Yep. He works with Saul on projects for children to learn how to barber. And if anybody needs any food, please reach out to Hair Connection at 22nd and Lehigh. We do lots of food drives. We help our community. We are literally here. Shout out to 98.5 Uptown Radio, right there right there off of Susquehanna, Broad of Susquehanna. That's my radio station. Shout out to you, Uptown. You already know. If you guys are servicing the Black and Brown community, please come through. We are always having food drives. We are always putting on for our city, and we are here to give you guys a voice. So if you're doing something positive, please reach out to us.
Hey, that's what's up. That's what's up, man. Y'all, we got your plug in as you should. Another thing I wanted to say is just a little sidestep, and I'm gonna bring it back in. Another thing I want to say is, you know what? When I get a chance, I want to send you my homie his clothing line, and because he do things from him.
Okay.
He from North. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if you know him.
He's really? What's his name? What's his clothing line? What's his name?
His ears open, mouth closed, love yourself.
Okay. All right. That's dope. Okay.
Yeah, so like, you know, that's the meaning behind his brand or whatever, but he got a lot of dope clothing, apparel and all like that. But we're gonna tap in with that later. But you know, as you was talking, and I was just sitting here thinking, I was like, dang, man, you really who you hang around is who you are. And because I see you really a tapped in person, and you was blessed. That's what's up, man. Your parents done something right.
Thank
because you was tapped in at such a young age did you feel like that made you walk faster?
Hold on, I want to ask you this too.
And by you being in a well diverse community of people, do you think that helped with your musical talent in any ways, or shape your form of thinking? Because you were so young as an adolescent going into adulthood.
Yes, I do. I do think that having a lot of diversity, you know, opened me up to different genres of music. You know, like, when I got signed, I didn't know I was going to get signed as a pop artist, you know, and like, I just felt that changing my genre from rap to pop and becoming a singer when I didn't really have any vocal training. I mean, I went to E9, I was in E9 since I was 2 years old, you know, over there when we were in Germantown, you know, before they even got to Cheltenham, you know, and I was on fire. You know, and I would sing all the time. I would have my little solos. I would go to church at 6 o'clock in the morning. I would be at every service. You know, like, you know, because I wanted to put my time in with God. And I felt like that's what I was doing, you know, but that's what he was doing. You know, so switching to the genre of singing kind of hurt me, and it kind of put me into a slight depression because I felt like I wasn't being true to myself, true to everything that I stood for. But I can say that taking that record deal and moving forward and becoming a pop artist, it shaped me and it opened me up to a different perspective. I was able to tap into it because of, you know, the types of surroundings that I was in or the type of music that I was listening to. But yeah.
All right, that's awesome. And you know, off air, you know, we was talking about because you said you was a vocalist, and you was telling me something about when you was a baby, and you know, if you don't mind, I want you to go ahead and elaborate on that. Like, you know, because you said you're hopeless and all like that. So go ahead, tap in on that.
So when I was born, I was meconium stain. I don't know if anybody knows what that is, but it's basically when the baby's first bowel movement, I swallowed it in my mom's womb. And when I came out, I wasn't breathing. They took a picture of me and they gave it to my mom. My daddy said, "This is just in case your daughter doesn't make it." And then after that, they airlifted me. Well, they suctioned like the bowel out of my throat, out of every open, you know, anything open that I had, they sucked all of the bowel out. And I was airlifted to Children's Hospital, and I was in a cubicle for like 2 months. But when I finally started talking, my voice was really raspy because they damaged my vocal cords. So I used to sound like this. So like, my mom used to tell me, she's like, "Yo, we would be in the store, you would ask them, like, 'Mom, can I get this?' And then they would turn around and be like, 'What the fuck? And then you would see like this little light skinned girl with like pink tails and braids. But I think it's so crazy because I actually had to teach myself how to sing properly. I had to learn how to sing properly. This wasn't something that came natural to me, because when I sang in a natural voice before I got vocal training, I got pop vocal training, classical vocal training, and I also got R&B vocal training. Before I was singing like Adele. If anyone knows Adele, she had to get surgery because during her first tour, because the way she sang, it was so raspy that when she sang like that for so many nights, she damaged her vocal cords and her lip. I think she had like polyps, that bleeding polyps or something like that. It was bleeding. So she had to get surgery on it and change the way that she sang. So that's how I was singing. And then after I got training, you know, I was singing properly.
Wow, man, that's amazing. I'm really glad you're here to that testimony, because I know it might be somebody out there in the world that probably won't give up on their dreams. Maybe you'd be an inspiration to
someone. Oh, I don't want to say this.
Go ahead, do your thing.
Yes, I'm going to say this. Listen to me clearly. Anyone can learn how to sing, okay? Listen to me, you guys. Anyone can learn how to sing. With that, I know a lot of singers are not going to agree with that. They're like, what? No, that is a singer that is uneducated. Okay. Me telling you that I've taken 3 different schools of vocal training. The teachers capitalize off of this because they literally train people to sing that cannot sing a lick or hold a tone. So I know this.
Could you repeat that last part for me again?
Mm-hmm. Anybody can learn how to sing. Anyone can learn how to sing. Anyone. The teachers that teach vocal training actually take pride in this statement because they literally teach people that don't know how to sing a lick how to sing.
Let me buy you a drink. Ooh-wee. Nah, you know what? That's funny. You know, I got the vocal cords a little bit, but my voice, I'm feeling a little parched right now, you know. But that goes
you're a little parched.
Yeah, just a little bit. But that goes back into what I always say is, damn. Two things that we always hear. You know the old saying, if you had a brain, you'd be dangerous. Think about it. The most dangerous was that thing. You know what I mean? So that's the most dangerous thing you can do in life is think. The moment you think, you're dangerous.
Yep.
And the power of the mind is everything, man. Belief. And you know what? So now we got that. Now, so speaking of which, that's going to lead me right into my next question. Where do your faith and your belief in yourself come from? Did you always have that, or did you have to grow with that over time?
That my faith came, when I started rapping, my purpose wasn't to rap. My purpose wasn't to be a singer or an artist. My purpose was to spend time with my dad. And I thought that if I became a rapper, that my dad would want to manage me and he would spend all his time with me because I would be his artist.
Damn, so that's dope. Like, you really a dope person, man. Like, you just overall really a dope.
Thank you.
Like,
I fell in love with music after it.
All right, that's cool. That's dope, though. Like, but that's what most kids want. They want their mom. They want their time. And, now I got a couple more questions. Mm-hmm. I'm going to close this one out.
Mm-hmm.
So, what was one of the biggest pitfalls you learned just dealing with the industry, or and things like that? Because I remember hearing you saying something about a contract, you know, off air a couple times. So how did that play out for you, and how did that make you feel at that time? Take us back to that time in a year. What year was that?
I signed my contract when I was 23, all the way till like I was like 27, and I asked out of my contract when I was 27, and I got pregnant right after that with my son. And but when I was in the contract, before I signed the contract, so we're at the table. Not the table, but we're in the studio. We're in Larry Gold's. You know what I'm saying? If anybody know Larry Gold's, you know, right over there, South Street. It's the new Milk Boy. But back in the day, it was called Larry Gold's. Studio everybody went to. Michael Jackson from the web, of course, here. I mean, it's just top of the line studio in Philadelphia. Everybody know that. So, we're over there at Larry Gold's and whatnot. And we have the meeting. And they're like, all right, well, let's see what you got. You know, they asked me about myself. You know, they love the personality. And then I started rapping. And they're like, okay, cool. Well, can you sing? And I was like, I mean, I can sing. You know, I was singing in church. I said, but I need vocal training. But yeah, I can sing. If you give me the vocal training, we win it. So they're like, so they said to me, sing. I sing Bag Lady. And then after that, they signed me. And they brought down a writer from Rock Nation. And he wrote like 4 songs. We went in a studio in New Jersey. And after that, we were just deep in this, like, day in and day out. I'm at the record label at 19th and Market every day, you know, and just like going to the studio, recording, writing. They told me that I had to live the artist's life. I had a stipend and everything, you know. They got me an apartment, all that. You know, it was just like I said to myself, even though I took the deal as a singer and I'm a rapper, I'm an MC, you know, I said that the one thing I wasn't going to do is ever like do something that makes me feel uncomfortable. So when I got the deal, I was younger and I was more comfortable dressing, you know, a little bit more promiscuous. And when we finally released it, it was 3 years later, and they wanted me to dress more promiscuous. So we took multiple meetings about how I dressed, about my weight. I was 140 pounds. I was 5'3". When I got signed, I was like 120. So they wanted me to drop like 10 pounds. I didn't drop it. So they felt that I was not taken serious. They didn't want me to smoke weed. They wanted me to change the people that I surrounded myself with. They changed all my friends. They said that I needed to be more of an artist. They hired a private investigator on me. They tried to get me to sign a life insurance policy of $1 million. And the last straw was, it was my album release party. And it was at, damn, I forgot where it was. I forgot to tell my time, but anyway, I'll figure it out. It was at Reserve. Yeah, so I had rented out the whole Reserve, you know. We had the cake with my whole face on it upstairs with the album cover and everything. It was lit. We had the whole stage, the band. I practiced with the band and everything. We had band practice all the way up near the airport, like, for weeks, you know what I'm saying? So I'm working with Siani. Siani is Charlie Baltimore's daughter. So Siani was my makeup artist and also my stylist. Now Siani knew that I didn't want to dress like that, you know what I'm saying? Now Siani, she dressed like that, you know. You see Siani. Siani got here to fucking talk. You know what I'm saying? She looking like flat out. You know, I don't feel comfortable really dressing like that much revealing. So we went downtown. We were over at Joan Shop and stuff like that. We went to Sebastian McCall. So shout out to Sebastian McCall. If you listen. If you have the money and you want to invest in a good pair of jeans, I'm talking about jeans that last you like 10 years and they fit your body perfect, go to Sebastian McCall at 3rd and Market. Sebastian McCall at 3rd and Market, okay? It's called Charlie's Jeans, all right? Tell him Trini sent you. Trini, okay? Trini, I'm telling you, it's freaking lit. But his jeans cost like $250. I think it started at $250, something like that. But they are amazing. So anyway, so we went to all these spaces and I picked all this stuff from Joan Chef, and the record was like, no, we don't really like this. And I was just like, okay. So we're at the day of the damn album release party, y'all. The day of the album release party, I still have no outfit. I'm stressing. I'm like, oh my God, we ain't got no outfit. Oh my God. So then they're like, listen, Siani called the boutique. The lady with the boutique is coming with all the clothes. Pick an outfit out. This lady came with all of these clothes to Siani's spot. We was over there in Frankfurt. See, and they were all mesh. I said, Siani, what am I supposed to wear under this? She like, well, you could go get a leotard. I'm looking at the time, like, oh, I'm gonna have to tell my dad to go get a leotard. Like, I still gotta get this. But at this point, I'm like, yo, the leotard's gonna go up my butt. So it's a whole mesh dress, like a black mesh dress, and then it's just me and this leotard. Like, this little strap here covering this, and then that part. I was like, oh my gosh, I felt completely naked. Yo, I went to that release party, everybody's mouth dropped. The record label was like, dude, we look shocking. Oh, this is the thing. I'm like, yeah, but I feel uncomfortable. My ex, that's when he came up to me. He was like, what are you wearing? And I'm like, oh my gosh, like, I just felt so uncomfortable. I felt like everybody was just looking at me weird. And I was just like, I really tried to carry myself as comfortably as I could. But then after that, we took another meeting. I'm like, listen, I'm not dressing like that. I don't want to dress like that. Like, I don't want to dress like that. It makes you feel uncomfortable. I'm not doing it. And you see the singers and the rappers that come out of Philadelphia. You see what they're dressing like. I don't want to dress like that. This is not me. Like, I don't feel like I'm going to do that. So they shelved me. They fucking shelved me. And then they're like, you know, this isn't the direction that we wanted to go in. So after a while, like, we're not talking to each other. We're not communicating and stuff like that. Don't get me wrong. I still love them because I still work with them after that. Not on music, but on other stuff, you know. But that just didn't work. So then the label had reached out to me and he's like, hey, you know, we could work another record label. We could work out another record deal if you want. I talked to Charlie Baltimore. She's interested in, like, you know, your project, but if you're interested. But, you know, she wants to take me. I said, cool. This sounds great, you know? But then I'm like, you know what? Nah, never mind. Let me just not. Because I just went all the way back into that feeling of like, oh my gosh, I remember how I felt when I was signed to a record label. And it's literally a major record. It's literally like, they're like, all the time. What are you doing? What are you doing? Why did you do this? Why did you do that? Why did you walk like this? I literally had to take etiquette classes, you guys, where, like, I had to walk and perform a certain way, carry myself crazy, carry myself a certain way, sit a certain way, walk, talk, all of that. Like, whew. It was such a stressful time in my life, but I can definitely tell you that it was one of the most reviving experiences that I've ever had, because it taught me so much about myself.
Wow, that's a tough.
That is my fault.
Tough times build character.
Yeah. You know it.
You know, I'm sitting here and I'm listening to you. I'm like, man, maybe Kanye ain't as crazy as people they try to make that man seem. So they basically try to put
Kanye West is one of my favorite artists. Kanye West actually is my favorite artist.
Yeah, man, it's
yeah,
it's crazy. So you tapped in, you know what's up. I mean, you kind of like right there.
Yeah.
You know.
So I just crossed over to radio.
And you just crossed over to radio.
I just crossed over to radio.
Yes.
Yeah, now I'm a radio personality on 8.5 radio. You do know that.
So how was that transition from there to there? And what message do you
depressing.
Want? Hold up. I got a couple questions, right? So. And how was that transition from there to there? And what message will you leave for young females out here that want to get into the industry?
Okay. So, the transition, it was very depressing. I felt like I worked my entire life for this deal, and I just felt like I couldn't follow through with it because I felt like it was going to change who I was as a person. And I never wanted to change who I was as a person. So, that was hard because I was trying to figure out what's my purpose now. Because I actually worked my whole life since I was 6 years old to get here, and I got here, and then I just was like, fuck it, and throw it away. So now I'm like, now what am I gonna do? So I was like, all right, now I'll be a YouTube sensation. So I started making fucking YouTube videos and stuff like that. I made a whole YouTube series on chat with Trent. And then I started hosting, and I did like an interview on this show. I was out this company was launching called, I forgot, BMI, I forgot, but BMC, they were launching, and they were doing like a benefit concert, so they wanted me to host the benefit concert and to interview the lead or the headliner. So I did that, and then the DJ was Big Cuz, we're at 8.5, and he was like, yo, somebody came up to me and was like, yo, Trini, the DJ said he know you. So I walked up to the DJ, I was like, yo, he said, what's up, Trini, it's Big Cuz from SoundCloud. I said, oh, shit. Like 10 years ago, yo. Oh my god, yo, what's up? Yo, that's crazy. He's like, no, you got any new music? I was like, no, I don't have any new music. You know, I was like, I just, you know, have a show. He's like, what type of show? Like a podcast show, kind of. He's like, oh, yeah. He's like, oh, well, I mean, you know, but before that, he said that I could probably get some work in down at the radio station. If I work on that radio station, I was like, oh, hell yeah. So then when I got on the call, that's what I told him. Like, that's what I do, you know, at the podcast. So. Yeah, they picked me up. They told me to do a pilot for my radio show, and then my radio show got picked up. And after that, I was like, oh my gosh, I got a purpose now. I can service my community. I can be here for my community. I can help my community, and I can be on the radio, and I can still be a personality. You know, and I can play my own music on the radio. Like, what? It's dope.
Right. Some wins, some losses are wins in disguise. You just can't see it sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
You can't see it under the microphone sometimes. You
know yeah.
And so I'm gonna wrap this up right here. My last question
okay.
is, Lee, what will you tell the young girls that want to go get BBLs and tummy tucks and all this other stuff out here for the music industry? What would be your message to the young ladies out here when it come up? What would you tell them?
I would tell them just to take a second and look in the mirror and see what they would like to change about themselves. What they want to change about themselves. And I would say, challenge yourself. Because when I was signed to a record, when I had the record deal, I had a personal trainer, and I worked on a personal trainer 3 to 4 times out of the week. And and that word is so scary for the younger crowd, and I understand that. But in order to be a millionaire, oh, I caught you now, didn't I? I got at you now, didn't I? In order to be a millionaire, okay, you have to have discipline. You will not be a millionaire without discipline. Understand this. So working out and striving to reach a goal that seems completely impossible but is possible is one of the most challenging things that I think I've ever did. So it made me disciplined, which shaped me into being who I am. And granted, you know, I could have been a lot further than this. I could have had the celebrity boyfriend that was rich, and you know, I could have let my way to the top. I would have made it. But it's just not me. So I would say, be you. And if you feel that that's what is you, then pray about it. And you know, God will tell you what He want to tell you. You know, you take that, you run with it. Just always be true to you. You know, don't let anybody influence you on anything, because at the end of the day, when you die alone. You know, so I do it for you.
All right, man. I love your personality. You definitely got a dope personality. That radio, you definitely got that. When I roll over 7 o'clock in the morning, I take a shower, I'm turning you on. You hear me? Shut out that radio station.
And you do know. And you do know. Everybody, please tune into WJYN 98.5 Uptown Radio, right in the middle of your dial on Mondays from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. I am your host, Trini, and please tap into Chats with Trin and Friends.
All right, Chat with Friends. You want, you got any other social medias you want to shout out? The YouTube, spell it out for the people and all like that.
My YouTube and everything. You guys can Google me, Chat with Trin. That's CHATWITHTRINI. Like Trini, like Trinidad. Chat with Trin. My name is Trini.
Okay, with that being said, y'all know, man, thanks for tuning in.
The big DJ Young Zop for hooking me up with that, and you do know that, so stay tuned, you guys. Chat with Trent and Friends, 98.5 Uptown Radio. Ooh.